Yeah, and when Ajahn Chah did pass away, you were quite involved in the funeral as well. So that's quite a big position of trust because I believe, I heard a million Thai people came and visited during the funeral period,
Yes, I mean the funeral period was quite long, but yes, there were, just on the actual day of the funeral, there was about be somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 people,
It's incredible.
and then over that period of the funeral, people were streaming in from all over the country, but we did. One of the things that that we did, it started probably 4 or 5 years before Ajahn Chah passed away, was we said, Ajahn Chah is not going to get better, and there's going to be a funeral, and it's going to be huge. We've got to start figuring out how to make this work. So there was a lot of planning that went into developing the infrastructure to receive that situation. Although I think none of us could have conceived of how big it was going to be. But one of the things I did do, and I talked with a couple of the senior monks and said, we should really take a group of this of senior monks up. There was a very senior disciple of Ajahn Mun who passed away, very respected, and his funeral was taking place. I said, we should go up and observe that to see what we can learn from that. And what we learned was that we had to be organized because it was chaos. And then everybody came back with a real strong consensus that, okay, we've got to do something that would honor Ajahn Chah, and having a chaotic funeral ceremony happen is not a dedication to all of his goodness.
And how do you feel it went?
I would, I mean, of course, I know all the things that went wrong,
Of course, of course.
but in terms of overall, it was absolutely magical. It really was able to provide an atmosphere of peace and faith, and introducing teachings and practice to so many people. I mean, just the right around the time of the actual cremation, there were about, I think it was about 5,000 to 6,000 monks living in Wat Bapong,
Goodness me, goodness me.
about 1,000 nuns, and then a little over 10,000 lay people actually camped out in the monastery. And
That's incredible.
we were able to provide toilets and showers and food for everybody. As soon as you walked in the monastery, there was no monetary exchange for anything. And we had
Wow, that's just incredible.
books for free distribution for everybody who wanted them. We had, yeah, so, and I remember we had, it was the, like, it was just, it wasn't quite opened yet. And I think there was about 45 kitchens that were volunteer people had volunteered, different groups and communities volunteered to have free kitchens, and they would serve different things and make it available to everybody. And a bunch of us who were the organizers, we came up with the idea that it'd be really good for everybody to keep the eight precepts and then make it easier on the kitchens. They just need to provide food in the morning, and then there just need to be some drinks in the afternoon. And we sort of let people know that that's what we're thinking. And then by that evening, we had a protest march coming down from all the kitchens coming up to meet us. And so, no way are we not going to there's going to be people coming day and night, and they should be receiving food.
So you had to give in.
They should be looked at. Yeah, we had to give in. It was sort of this. It's, that wasn't negotiable.
That's incredible.